just to share some of the things that the Lord is doing in my life, and all the praise and all the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to set that in a biblical foundation, just with a thought, just two verses I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The first one is verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And the main verse, which has been the basis of the work I do as a chaplain in four Christian doctors' surgeries, where the doctors are born-again Christians, the nurses are born-again Christians, the receptionists are born-again Christians, and I'm the chaplain as we minister to 23,000 patients in Blackburn on a Christian foundation. It is really unique in the whole of the UK, I do believe. But this verse says in verse 22, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. And that really is the key verse that the Lord has spoken into my heart since I started the work as a chaplain in the surgery. And I'm just going to speak just 15 minutes, but I've got a PowerPoint presentation. And so here is the surgery where I work. It's called Bentham Road Health Centre. It's one of four surgeries, but that's where my office is, the main entrance. It's just been done up in Blackburn. That was taken just a couple of years ago. Just going through the next one, just to brief. There are days when we do various activities with our patients, and we have workshops, and we do fire service, fire protection for families that don't have any understanding about even smoke alarms or anything like that. So we do special workshops. There's a mixture of some staff, but a lot of our patients have come along to that day, and the fire service come and give a demonstration. So we work with them in that capacity. And the next one, I suppose that's me just smiling. In the office where I work, I've just been given this different office now. It needs to be softened up a lot for the patients to come and see me. But yeah, we just blitz through that, just so you know where I work every day. Here's the staff. The gentleman stood up. Adam Black is the senior doctor. The lady to the right is Trudy, our site manager. Shelley's the nurse. We've got other receptionists in there. Dawn Webster sat at the back next to the lady in the yellow, who is the senior receptionist. The lady on the left is a medical secretary and two other receptionists. That's in our community room. So we do lots of stuff in the community room. Sometimes we all go out as together, and we wanted to say farewell to the doctor who's at the far right end, who was leaving the surgery to start another big practice. And and we also deal with all the health in community, and so we have 3,000 runners that run around Blackburn every week on a Monday and a Saturday. And so we provide the healthcare, the blood pressure checks, and because we're Christians, we are able to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ where we can, so where there's ever an opportunity. Here's back in the community room where you saw all the staff. We're doing a workshop. I think that one was on diabetes. This one is on dementia. And so we got all our patients. That one's a special one that I started a couple of years ago. That's a creative craft group for patients who suffer from depression, isolation, loneliness, and insomnia. And they just needed a connectivity where there was a family background in a sense of making relationships and not being so isolated. The lady on the far right is partially sighted, an ex-primary school teacher who just lives on her own. And all these different patients bring their problems to me, and there are many in that room, but I'm just grateful in God to be able to bring them together to find some care and compassion and love together. They cry together. We all cry together, actually, when there are stories that are told. But we also laugh together, and we do lots of fun things. And that's all in the very centre of the surgery. And so this is what we did last week. We were doing some Christmas little wreaths that they wanted to do, very simple. One of the girls in the previous slide, who's had a lot of difficulties I was sharing with the young people, that although her life had been messed up by her partner, she'd been placed into debt to $44,000, and she'd had no hot water in her flat for 4 years. As a surgery, when I found that out as the chaplain, we went straight in and provided hot water and started a process of administration to get her to a better accommodation, house repossession, and now I'm just working through a bankruptcy program to get her life back on track. They've been totally and utterly destroyed by that partner that had been in her life, who has now disappeared abroad. We also, as many of you will maybe, been involved in the Christmas children's shoebox appeal. And from our surgery, we normally send out about 35 little shoeboxes. So we'll get involved in that. There's some patients, staff. And so it's really amazing what influence we can have around the world. The last shoeboxes went to Albania. But from being a pastor of a church in Blackburn, I was never expecting or anticipating the transition to this chaplaincy role. It was only in a conversation with the senior doctor who had set up the four Christian surgeries over 28 years that he felt that patients needed more than a 10-minute appointment or more than a 20-minute appointment to talk to somebody, and that we could actually reduce the medication for and the tablets and stuff for insomnia and and antidepressants if we could reach the source of their issues and get to grips with what was really troubling them in life, whether it was a practical thing, an emotional thing, or a spiritual thing. And so he did a job description. Long story short, he wrote my life on a paper. My wife read it and said, "This is you, Ian, you should be doing this." She was absolutely right. And the Lord took steps, and I was able to release the church that I was looking after to go into this ministry full time and to allow these patients to come in. And the compassion and the love is that when they come, they're people that wouldn't come to church, to a nice church like this, and they wouldn't come to my church back in the UK. They're people that are carrying stuff, and they come in, and most of them will cry, men and women. They will just come in and cry. I don't get their background medical records or anything like that. They can tell me. They can give me permission, and I can, you know, access that if they allow me. But normally, I just like the person, and if it were you, just to come and see Ian, step into the office, and then after the tears and things, to say, okay, what would you like to tell me? And it's easy for them to share that with a chaplain that is not in the family or a friend. It's, in a sense, a stranger who's not judgmental or condemning, but wants to support and to do something to help their situation. And so all these patients come with so many different things. Just massive stuff, whether it's financial problems, food poverty, substance abuse, bereavement, loss of a child, relationship breakdown, abuse, verbal, physical, mental, selling houses. I've sold houses in Ireland for patients. I'm selling a house in Cyprus for a patient to de-stress them. I do their bills, their utility bills, their electric bills. Lady patient came last week, said, "I've got a bill for £1,300 for electric and gas." I go, "Oh my goodness. I think we need to sort this one out and have a look at it." And so I did all that, and I went round and I do home visits. I meet with the patients, and I did all the meter readings for her. And I said, "Well, where's your gas meter?" And the electric meter was on the outside wall of the property. But I couldn't find a gas meter, so I went in the house. I said, "Can I just follow the gas pipes all around?" Anyway, they were in a back room, in a cupboard. So I parted the closer in the cupboard, and I looked into the wall, and the meter reading was actually on the other side, facing the outside wall. So I then said, "I can see light through your wardrobe, through your cupboard. I need to go out into that yard." And I went out into the yard, I took a brick out the wall, and I took a photograph of the meter reading. I gave the meter reading to the utility company, who had been assessing her and estimating it for a long time. And instead of £1,300, she got £118 in credit, £60 of vouchers for Tesco's, because you can put the points on, which I did. And she was a happy bunny. So some things are very simple and very practical. Other things are heartbreaking. When somebody loses their daughter and a sister loses her older sister. So there's all the bereavement counselling and the grief and the things that go on a journey like that. I have Buddhists come, I have Muslims come, I have atheists come, I have all kinds of religious people from Protestant, Catholic background. And I can't shout about it. I have Chinese come, but they're coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So I lead them to the Lord in the surgery. And I had a Chinese couple that I worked with for many months, whose business was about to be repossessed, their property knocked down for redevelopment. And I was asked to go and see them. So I worked with them. I spoke to the agencies, the managers, the development. I got everybody together for a big business meeting, see what we could do for rehousing, structuring. There was any way we could move forward. And all this lovely Chinese couple wanted to do, Cheeman and Kathy, was to work until they were 65, making a pittance in the takeaway, Chinese takeaway, to be honest. No heating, no real comfort at all in the property. And I went there one day, this is just to finish and finalise so Val can come share the word. I went into that property and they were sobbing. And I mean like screaming sobbing. Like it was never going to stop, it was never going to end. And I just saw this couple, as it were, just falling. God just gave me a picture of them just falling and falling. There was nothing underneath them. They were just distressed. They were in a manic, crazy, just broken. And I just said, I can't stand to see this. Can I tell you that Jesus loves you and he cares what's happening to you? And I just shared with them the love and the compassion and what Jesus could do. And it, you know, we live by faith, and I believe just by faith that God will do stuff. And they both bowed their head and received Jesus Christ. And it's even hard for me not to get emotional or to weep when people come to salvation in such a way, whether it's in the room that you saw, whether it's in their property, wherever. God is doing it. Today, they're in a new house, which God's done. I didn't do it. I've done the paperwork and the stuff behind it, but not to realise that, wow, they've got a new house, social housing, warm, cared for. And actually, they come with my wife and I to church every Sunday, and I do a Bible study with them every Tuesday, and they give me a Chinese lunch. Maybe while I'm slightly bigger at the front than I used to be as a chaplain, but can I just say thanks be to God for the privilege of being a chaplain and for serving in that way. It's God ordained. It's nothing about me. It's just what Jesus has done, and I really pray that facility of having a chaplain in a surgery would happen in every surgery in the country. Because I think we all need to talk to somebody sometime. And especially those that we know of, our neighbours, that wouldn't normally come to a church. But it's a wonderful access and communication when they come to the chaplain. So Lord, thank you. Amen.